There are some scary phrases in this world that can strike fear in our hearts, especially depending on context and location. No one on a plane ever wants to hear the words, "I have a bum," or be anywhere and hear,
"Your biopsy was positive."
But there is a common phrase that, when said, should send you running away from the speaker. And that phrase is, change the world. It's often the mantra of scumbag politicians, evil dictators, and con artists of every stripe. It was repeated ad nauseum by the broad now embroiled in one of the biggest scams in history, Elizabeth Holmes and her magic, world-changing company, Theranos.
Elizabeth Holmes, once the youngest female self-made billionaire, under investigation for an alleged years-long fraud. Now facing up to 20 years in prison, it's a stunning fall from grace for the woman who was once poised to change the world.
But everyone was crazy about Elizabeth, even a certain two-term president.
You founded this company 12 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Tell him how old you were.
I was 19.
That's him, Slick Willie. And when this shit started going south, Elizabeth said they were all just out to get her. But were they?
First they think you're crazy, then they fight you, and then all of a sudden you change the world. Change the world. Change the world. Change the world. Change.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Come on, Larry! Larry! Larry!
The Theranos scam is pistol hot right now and wildly entertaining. And what makes it so fantastic is the victims. Yeah, not just John Q. Public. No, these victims were captains of industry, big-time politicians, people others might put their faith and trust in. People other people would consider smart. This story is about so much more than just some weird peroxide blonde with a fake baritone and a mediocre line of bullshit who fleeced hundreds of millions from investors. No, this story is really about America, who and what we value and why. And how so few people seem to possess the ability to detect bullshit and separate it from truth. The story is really important to me. If you ever visit my page at patreon.com/thatlarryshow, they have a template there they force you into using. The template says, Larry is creating, and then you have to fill in the blank in a few words. Most podcasters just write in, you know, Joe Blow is creating the Joe Blow Show. But mine says Larry is creating a shit-free America. And that's what's at the heart of this show. Yeah, I like to tell stories and have some laughs and mock nitwits and punks and commies, but the Take No Shit Dojo was founded to help you take less shit. And the easiest way to do that is to recognize bullshit from miles downrange, and then simply avoid it. But in the case of this Elizabeth Holmes, an impressive array of crafty, shrewd fuckers, from Bill Clinton to two former secretaries of state and a former secretary of defense, whom I declared a pussy and a bozo back in episode 83, these high-profile elite, so-called thought leaders, they gobbled mounds of her bullshit like it was Godiva chocolate. The Theranos is a style of con job that goes back hundreds of years, the magic box con. In its earlier incarnations, it was also perceived as high tech, probably before the term technology had ever been coined. When I was a kid, somebody gave me a magic trick. It was three horizontal rollers stacked and lined with black satin. You could feed in a rectangular piece of blank paper on one side, and on the other side, out would pop a real dollar bill. A simple but effective trick, and remarkably similar to the Theranos magic box they called Edison, after the famed inventor. Of course, it was a silly trick, but what made it plausible to a kid was that the mechanics of it were not unlike a printing press or an old mimeograph. Done with ink and engraved steel rollers, you could easily counterfeit money that way. I suppose I should give some more detail on the Theranos con job. Its mother, Elizabeth Holmes, was a Stanford student with a big dream. She cooked up the word Theranos as an amalgam of therapy and diagnosis. You'll discover how moronic that name is a little later, which will speak to her alleged brilliance. I have to digress a moment here. In 99% of scams and con jobs, the scammer is not a genius. Sometimes, they're barely above average intelligence. What they have is way, way above average nerve. Most scams succeed because the marks are just that fucking stupid. In episode 166, Nightmare in Paradise, we took a look at another recent and infamous scam, the Fyre Festival. That scam was small time compared to Theranos, but the framework, the MO of the two are remarkably similar. Larger scale scammers need to land a big fish first, and then other big fish and guppies swim right into the net. The first whale Elizabeth Holmes snagged was George Shultz. George had been Secretary of State under Ronald Reagan, with a lot of big jobs before and after. George is still on this side of the dirt at 98 years old. Besides his political noteworthiness, he's also famed for having a tiger tattooed on his ass, a memento from his Princeton days. So somehow George meets Elizabeth Holmes. And let me tell you, Elizabeth Holmes is not pointy. She is not hot. On the other hand, she's not a grimbo. But when a 30-something blonde with reasonably firm tits comes within arm's length of a guy in his 90s, what do you think is going to happen? She reeled him in, and pretty soon, George had Henry Kissinger on board, as well as several other big names from the political world. Now, at the same time, Shultz's grandson, Tyler, worked at Theranos, and Tyler soon discovered it was a house built of cards, and the mortar was bullshit. And on multiple occasions, Tyler tried to warn Grandpa that Theranos was a fraud, but the old man was sold on Lizzie, convinced she was a genius inventor, a woman of unimpeachable character, with a decent bus line. Maybe I should get to the invention part of the story. Holmes's dream was pretty cool. A dream to make blood testing about as painless and simple as a haircut. She believed that conventional blood testing was kind of barbaric and overdone. And who would disagree with that? They stab you with a big fucking needle and pump vial after vial of blood out of you. A whole lot of blood. Why so much blood, you wonder? Think about it. If you want to know what a pot of soup tastes like, do you need to eat the whole thing? No. A spoonful will do. And if you wanted to determine the ingredients of that soup, likewise, a spoonful should be a sufficient sample for analysis. So Holmes figured, why not extract just a few drops from a pinprick and put them in a little vial, not much bigger than an automotive fuse? She called it a nanotainer. That all sounds great, doesn't it? Who wouldn't be on board with that? But here's where Lizzie went off the rails, deep into Yoda land. She liked to quote that movie puppet a lot. She believed that technology could develop a box about the size of a carry-on luggage bag, and within this box, all kinds of super-tech miniaturized gizmos would analyze a blood sample, perform 200 different tests, same as a gigantic laboratory filled with centrifuges and reagents and phlebologists who studied years how to conduct those tests. Lizzie was doing some magical thinking, same as Billy McFarland did in his Fyre Festival debacle. Magical thinking always includes this fucktard phrase. It will all work out. Not necessarily. Imagine how much training it would take for someone to look through a microscope or run any kind of a test and determine the cholesterol content of someone's blood or glucose or cardiac enzymes or hepatitis or liver function or thyroid. It's insanely complicated medicine. But somehow, Lizzie and Theranos were going to get all this done in a box the size of a suitcase. It's absurd, idiotic, moronic, magical thinking. It's clear that Elizabeth Holmes had a real thing for Steve Jobs and the Apple Corporation. She dressed all in black, just like Steve. She named her magic box Edison. That's kind of like Apple naming their epic fail device Newton, isn't it? She named the blood vial a nanotainer. Remember the Apple MP3 player, the Nano? She also borrowed heavily from Steve's line of bullshit. And yes, Steve used to bullshit all the time. Steve and everyone else up there in Silicon Valley and pretty much anyone in business, they love to use the phrase, change the world. When Steve decided to take a long vacation and hand the Apple reins to another guy, the other guy was a Pepsi exec named John Sculley. Steve reputedly said to Sculley, "Do you want to sell sugar water, or do you want to change the world?" Well, Sculley sure changed Apple's world. He had the company at the brink of bankruptcy in no time flat. Has Apple changed the world? Yeah, no more than Samsung or BlackBerry or many other companies that manufacture similar stuff. That change the world line always seems to harden dicks and moisten panties across all strata of humanity, whether avaricious execs or starry-eyed students. It's such a bullshit line. People who actually do change the world usually do so as an unintended side effect of their work. Jonas Salk just wanted to prevent polio. That's a smidge more narrow than changing the world, but eventually his work did. Same as the guy who invented the wheel. He probably just wanted to move something without getting a hernia. We've got to beware those fire-in-the-belly world changers. As a general rule, they just fuck it up. Marx, Hitler, Lenin, Mao, they all wanted to change the world. Every one of them changed the world into a shit show. Anytime anybody uses that phrase, they are full of shit and probably dangerous. So Elizabeth had statesmen and ex-presidents and celebrities saying she was a visionary and the greatest inventor of our time. And who could disagree with that? She had a weird, some say, put-on baritone voice. She dressed in identical black outfits day in and day out. She quoted that puppet from Star Wars. She named her unproven, untested magic box after Edison. A guy, by the way, who was very smart, but also a world-class prick who frequently electrocuted animals on stage to demonstrate that his brand of electricity was safer. Elizabeth was eccentric. She was intense. She was earnest, so sincere. She wanted to change the world, and an avalanche of investor money poured into Theranos to fund her bullshit pipe dream unworkable gizmo. Hundreds of millions. 150 mil from Walgreens Corporation, 125 mil from media mogul Rupert Murdoch, and many more. At the same time, all those hard-hitting crack journalists were fawning over her, kissing her ass, on TV, online. Fortune magazine even made her their cover girl. By the way, how does the name Theranos make sense? The nose part, a blood test can surely aid diagnosis, but what about it as therapeutic? That's a stretch, and another realm entirely. Even the company name was half-assed and stupid. Maybe Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos just had to happen in our participation trophy society, where it's become offensive and unacceptable to tell anyone that they or their ideas suck. And everybody gets to have their own truth. And you can fake it till you make it. Her stupid box, the Edison, reminds me of an assignment one of my kids got around fourth grade. The project was to come up with some type of realistic invention that would change the world. How about that? And so, some kid dreamed up ways to store the energy people in gymnasiums expend on treadmills and ellipticals. Another kid wanted to fill home rain gutters with soil so everyone could grow some of their own veggies, whether or not they had a yard. Stuff like that. Not bad. Showed some creativity that could actually work. Guess what project won? Some kid with a rocket pack you could strap to your back with sufficient thrust and food and water to take you to the planet of your choice. Fucking moronic. Not smart. What happened to the word realistic? And I'll bet you anything, nobody ever told Elizabeth Holmes that her idea was nice, like that rocket pack, but at the same time, stupid. VC guys do kinda sorta like to see some proof of concept, so Elizabeth got herself a meeting with the honchos at Walgreens. And those guys swallowed her hula popper like a lunker bass. The box was black, with an LCD screen on a slanted face. It had a trap door, like an old VCR player. You put the nanotainer blood sample in the magic door, the machine sucks it in with that satisfying high-tech servo motor sound. Then the magic begins. The execs from Walgreens watched her pop that sample in the magic box, and she told them it would take about an hour to run the tests. So why don't we go have lunch and come back when it's all finished? And while they were at lunch, calculating the billions they'd make, Theranos stooges removed that sample from the box, hot-footed it over to a real laboratory for a super rush analysis, and by the time the Walgreens suckers were back from lunch, they had an impressive array of medical data to behold. And not one of those executives said,
"Hey, let's see what's in the box."
Not one. Instead, they ordered a fuck ton of Elizabeth's machines and even redesigned a bunch of stores to accommodate the new miracle pinprick instant blood analysis. With that level of intellectual firepower at the helm, would you be comfortable having even a simple prescription filled at Walgreens? Besides a fascination with con artists, I also dig magic. I sometimes visit LA's Fantastic Magic Castle, where I've seen some mind-blowing illusions from the best magicians in the world. But there's always a tacit understanding between performers and audience, and that is, you agree to be deceived because it's so much fun. Or as they say in the lit world, it's the willing suspension of disbelief. That Theranos magic box reminds me of another magic box that had 18th century Europe as enthralled as Silicon Valley was with the Edison. This one was called the Turk. The Turk was an automaton, a robot that could play chess. He looked like Zoltar, that carnival fortune teller with a big turban and a brocade vest. And he sat cross-legged atop a big wooden box with a chessboard. And the Turk would play games with kings and queens and dukes and contesses, and usually he'd win. And they were all left speechless. How was this done? How could a mechanized mannequin play chess so skillfully? What kind of clockwork is in that box? Inside that box was a little tiny man who was a chess champion. And with a clever system of levers and pulleys, the compact man would manipulate the Turk mannequin, move the pieces around the board. and nobody got wise for the longest time, and the scammers made a fortune and became celebrities. That was over 250 years ago, and the masters of the universe at that time were faked out, same as the VC guys and statesmen and celebs of today. Why do people think they are smarter now than they ever were? Clearly, they are not. When you layer bullshit and hocus-pocus with change the world, ooh, the suckers line up for miles. I once read a story about Alfred Hitchcock and one of his favorite actresses, Grace Kelly. At the time, a lot of people figured Grace was the most beautiful woman in the world, and she might have been. And she was a huge movie star, and her life was a boat ride. Big money, adoring fans. Who could ask for more? On one of the Hitchcock movies, she got the notion that somehow being beautiful and rich and famous was just kinda de classe. Nice work if you can get it, but not really doing anything meaningful, anything to change the world. And she expressed these feelings of dissatisfaction to Hitchcock, and he suggested that if she was seeking truly meaningful work, she should visit the nearest hospital and empty some bedpans. Betcha Elizabeth Holmes never emptied a bedpan. At one point, the value of the Theranos company was over $9 billion. As a 50% owner of the company, that placed Elizabeth's net worth at $4.5 billion. If she was so eager to change the world, why didn't she break off 4, 3, or 2, or even 1 billion of that and throw it out of a plane over a poverty zone, or hand it to some legit charity to distribute to the needy and worthy? That might have changed the world a little. And now she's looking at 20 years in the joint, on all sorts of nasty charges. Is she an evil person? I doubt she started out that way. I think she's the product of that participation trophy culture that constantly tells everyone they can be and do anything they can dream of. And that is a crock of shit. Holmes figured that if she thought magically enough and amped up enough change-the-world zealots to throw money at it, that somehow somebody would defy the laws of physics and biology and logic itself and engineer the magic box she dreamed of. Just like Yoda. After Change the World, Holmes's favorite quotation was,
"Do or do not. There is no try."
She'd have been better off as a fan of Casey Kasem than a sci-fi puppet.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. In the next day or so, I'll post a bonus episode for Patreonies only, Hooking Up. Fewer and fewer people are doing it. We'll have a look at why and what you can do to increase your odds of connecting with Mr. or Ms. Right, or right now. Only at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. Write to me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com or call the dojo at 302-71-LARRY. Follow the show on Twitter and Facebook. Just plug That Larry Show in the search bar. You'll find it. Stay the fuck away from those would-be world changers. And until next time, take no shit.